Hey, you want that to go?
Hey, get your takeouts, get your takeouts. We've got some stories we want you to stay on top of this week, and we begin with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, back from a week off. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, John, good morning.
So how are those negotiations on the health care reform bill with the most powerful Democrat in the Senate, Olympia Snowe, and everyone else on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, well, you know how this has been going. It comes out into the open, then back behind the scenes, then out into the open. Now it's back behind the scenes again as three very powerful senators try to figure out what exactly is going to be in the bill that reaches the Senate floor.
Is Olympia Snowe the most powerful Democrat in the Senate right now? You're the Republican?
So, you know, a lot of the Republicans call her Rhino. I think we've said that on the show before. Rhino, Republican in name only. That's some of the hardcore Republicans refer to her that way. That's for them, I guess. These conversations have moved into a triumvirate of Democrats trying to figure out what is going to be in the bill. And of course, we've been harping on the public option. It's not the only issue. They got to figure out how to pay for this $900 billion bill. They have to figure out who's going to be taxed, Cadillac insurance plans or drug companies. But then also, of course, the public option. And moderate Democrats may be warming up to the idea of having a public option. Listen to Kent Conrad from North Dakota. He's been a major critic of the public option, and this is a nuanced statement, but listen to him from Fox News Sunday yesterday.
Of course, Olympia Snowe has proposed a triggered mechanism, so if the other reforms in the bill aren't as successful as we hope, that a public option would be triggered down the line, but not one, and I want to emphasize this again, not one tied to Medicare levels of reimbursement. That is unacceptable and could not get the votes.
What's he talking about, Medicare levels of reimbursement? What's that issue?
Okay, the debate has quietly shifted on Capitol Hill. There are different ways to do a public option. One is you tie the payments to doctors, hospitals, everybody else, to Medicare rates plus some percent, 5%, Medicare plus 5, they call it in shorthand.
And that would be a net reduction in rates, right?
For most doctors and hospitals,
right,
exactly. It would. And for Conrad's people in North Dakota, it would be a huge reduction because reimbursement rates in his state are low. That's why he's so against it. The other way to do it is to base a public option on negotiated rates the same way private insurance negotiates now. Everybody gets a little more money. The taxpayer doesn't save nearly as much, but it's still something you can call a public option. And the interesting thing about what he said is that the question now seems to be becoming not if a public option is going to get out of the Senate, but what that public option will look like. You have Conrad, who's the most vocal backer of using co-ops, not public option, saying, I could be for it, but not tied to Medicare. So I'll tell you how important this is. The White House is paying attention. Conrad meets one-on-one with the president this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's the big headline. Thank you very much. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, the state of healthcare in the backroom dealings on Capitol Hill. Thanks, Todd.
So now on to sports with our sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. It was a very good day for football fans yesterday, right? The big story is the New Orleans Saints went into the game undefeated, but their opponent was also undefeated. What happened?
Well, yesterday, the Giants lost to the New Orleans Saints.
Crushed.
44.
Yeah.
You said killing, crushed, smashed.
Trampled.
Yeah, all those adjectives. 48-7. And if you think
48
about
28-27.
48-27. If you think about both of those two cities, New Orleans and New York, if you go anywhere in the world, people know where those places are. They have a very distinct identity. So you take a guy like Eli Manning, who's from New Orleans. I went to homecoming this weekend. It was a homecoming for Eli Manning. My team lost in a homecoming, and him on the Giants, they got destroyed. And part of the reason why was that Drew Brees is the best quarterback in the NFL, and I've said it here before. He's unbelievable. And they exploited the Giants' weaknesses, which includes a very weak linebacker core. And we've been thinking about this all year long. Their linebackers are not able to get it done, and it was truly exposed. They had all these puff opponents for the past couple of weeks, but they just crushed those linebackers.
So Brett Favre also demonstrating that an old guy can still do it in the
Another
NFL.
Another guy from New Orleans.
It's a 44-yard try, left hash, snap, good, spot down, right-footed kick is up, and it is no good! No good! He missed it wide left, and there's another Minneapolis miracle!
That was from the Minnesota Viking games against the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Brett Favre is doing well.
For real. They were up most of the game. The Vikings it seemed like they had it easy. And then, of course, Baltimore came back. And Joe Flacco, he's, the second-year quarterback. He came back. He brought the Baltimore Ravens back. And they got a 33-31 lead going into the last 3 minutes and 37 seconds. Brett Favre threw a 58-yard pass to set up the game-winning field goal. 58-yard pass to this guy, Sidney Rice. That's why they brought Brett Favre into Minnesota.
Vikings are undefeated 33-31 over the Baltimore Ravens. That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Heartbreaker.
We also saw Tom Brady setting a record. Another veteran quarterback, but he set a record yesterday. Broke a record. Here's that.
Brady takes the snap, looks, rifles it right. Welker, touchdown. Tom Brady has thrown 5 first-half touchdown passes.
Now, he 5 touchdown passes, but he was playing the Tennessee Titans.
He was playing the Tennessee Titans in the October Snow Bowl.
Small T.
In the middle of a blizzard in New England in October. You really expect Tennessee to actually play any good football? I don't think so. Especially when they're 0-5, now they're 0-6. Brady threw for 380 yards. He has 6 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns in one quarter. Randy Moss had 3 touchdowns himself. It was a beautiful game if you're a New England fan, and a sad, sad day for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and sad for the Jets, too. They rush for over 300 yards and still lose the game.
That's a record. 5 interceptions for Mark Sanchez.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks.
Hey, good morning.
Our last takeout comes from you, the listeners. On Friday's show, we talked about the controversial sheriff in Arizona, Joe Arpaio. He was stripped of his powers to enforce immigration rules due to a change in federal law. Then in protest, he announced that he would conduct anti-illegal immigrant sweeps anyway. We talked about that on the show, and you had a lot of things to say about that. There was cheering and jeering. Teresa wrote, "Go, go, Sheriff Joe," while MK Ultra called Sheriff Arpaio a putrid excuse for a human being. Someone named Buff Rat says, "I welcome people of all shapes, sizes, ethnic backgrounds, color, etc. to this wonderful country, but they need to come in the front door. Those that don't violate our laws tax our schools and health systems, and the sheriff's actions are according to law." Well, Chris responds, "People seem to think illegal immigrants take all of Social Security, health care, and other benefits. The fact is that the low percentage of illegals in America, less than 5% of the population, don't stress the system nearly as hard as the people it was designed to control, the middle class." You, of course, can join this lively, fiery back and forth at thetakeaway.org. We started a new series on Friday with our friend Farai Chidea about values, rethinking what we value as human beings now that the economy has changed so much. We've been getting your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Ryan in Detroit, just wanted to say that this economy has made me focus even more on investing, changing, going down a different road.
And Old Heathen commented on our website, "Family, friends, and neighbors, they all matter more than money. I've known this since the 80s when I reached my 20s. Money plays into this only to the extent that our system is focused on money." And let us know how your values have shaped, your recession has shaped your values at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. Just keep the responses coming. We love to hear from you.